Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:15, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is Friday, October 24th. Well, of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. Well, that was a mouthful. Well, when we look at what's been happening this week, well, last week we had this very sharp decline, we had a spike in volatility, and this week we've had just this incredibly impressive bounce that... Well, we're looking at Wall Street right now, that it's probably the best week that it's had since 2013. Well, a lot of people will be looking at this pullback. They'll also be looking at what happened in the fourth quarter of last year. That I saw one commentator today saying that last week's pullback was akin to the audience going out to grab a quick refreshment in the intermission between two acts in a play. Well, there's certainly been an element of people just saying that this was a great buying opportunity and let's get back to business in here, that the Fed isn't about to start raising interest rates anytime soon and we remain in this incredibly liquid environment. Well, in many respects, that's all true. On the other hand, we've had this loss of consistency, that you've had a larger pullback and you've had a break in the progression of higher reaction lows for a number of markets, that indices like the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100 and the DAX have paused at big round numbers, well, 2,000, 4,000 and 10,000 respectively. Well, when we look at it in terms of the way that a market progresses, that, well, we saw you had this very powerful rebound from a deep oversold level in 2009, that you had these very, very volatile, choppy ranges in 2010 and 2011, and then the market got progressively more consistent, that it just trended in a more consistent fashion. Well, that's what you expect to see. You expect to see that a market progresses in a more consistent fashion because people get the message that there's a powerful reconfirmation as people start to make money, that they're less likely to sell, that they start to commit more, that they start to think more about what the market is going to do in future rather than what it's done before. And, well, that helps a market to become progressively more consistent. Well, when it gets progressively more consistent, it's easier to analyze. And when then it becomes less consistent, you have to conclude that the force that's animating the demand component of the market has changed. Well, this has been a liquidity fuel environment. That's been the case since at least 2009. And, well, it's not over yet. That the Fed is, well, it's probably going to remove quantitative easing next week. And it probably won't raise interest rates for a good long time after that. And that people are saying, well, Europe is just about to embark on a quantitative easing program where they're going to print €1 trillion. That the Bank of China is easing up, having tightened down on the property market for the last 3 or 4 years. So Japan has bet the farm on trying to reignite inflationary pressures there, so that, well, you look at the rest of the world, that you have this monetary stimulus and some of its way is going to find its way into the stock markets. So this really is a big deal. Well, that's all true. What we are then looking at is the loss of consistency. Is this what a medium-term ending might look like? Well, the way we look at things in the chart seminar, you'll often see in a very consistent trend that you'll get an inconsistency starting to creep in at the penultimate high. Well, part of the reason for that is because people are looking around and saying, has anything really changed? And they conclude that it probably hasn't. So some people will rush back in. Well, we've definitely seen people rushing back in the last week. But there will also be another component where they will say, well, you know what, things have pulled back. It's been a much sharper pullback, so then I have to be a little bit more cautious about what I'm going to do with this market. Well, that's where you get these inconsistencies, that you get a deeper pullback, you might get a longer range. Well, we're going to find out in the next week exactly how this is all going to play out, that the S&P is currently about 40 points away from its all-time high. Well, we've had these powerful breakouts, and we've had, over the last 2 years, we've seen just a market rallying beyond most people's expectations. Well, that's exactly what you anticipate seeing when you get these very, very long ranges. That the market did nothing for, 15 years, you had an awful lot of ranging. Well, ranges are boring relative to the trending phases, and that means that expectations of future potential go down. Well, that's exactly what happened, that the market went sideways for 14 years, and then people started to think that it was never going to break out. They were underweight, and they didn't really believe it. Well, you're now starting to see people talking about a secular bull market. That, and what might that be predicated on? Well, you have massive technological innovation that is enhancing productivity. You have the rise of the global middle class, and you have the strengthening of the US dollar and weakening of commodity prices. All of that is evident right now. Well, the dollar and governance are becoming increasingly intertwined. That over the last decade, and really the decade from about 2000 onwards, the dollar trended lower. So while Wall Street did not much of anything, in just about every other currency, Wall Street trended lower. At the same time, a number of currencies doubled against the US dollar, and their stock markets did even better. Well, you'll still have people that will make a bearish case for why the dollar is not a good currency and why they would be right to say that it won't hold its purchasing power. However, when you compare it to other currencies, well, the dollar trended lower for a long time. Well, any other currency then wouldn't have to do very much to outperform it. But, well, let's just say that the dollar holds steady on a relative basis. Then everything else has to be that bit better in order for people to really get interested in investing in the currency. Well, that's why governance now is even more important. That India had this massive currency devaluation ahead of the appointment of Mr. Rajan as the central banker, and ahead of last year's, or the election at the beginning of this year. Well, we've seen that the BJP has increased its position in the upper house in here this week, and that it's looking increasingly likely that they're going to be able to get a majority in the upper house as well as their dominant position in the lower house. Well, that's really then when we can see significant additional reforms imposed in India, and that market could double in the next 5 years. Well, I did a lot of interviews for Indian TV channels in the last decade, and well, in the early part of the last decade, we used to say that India was our favorite market for the very long term. Well, that wasn't so much the case for 3 years when the market didn't do much of anything. But when you look at it now, you'd have to say that the market could really do a lot. Well, a lot of that will be predicated on the ability of the administration to deliver improving governance. Well, you've seen Mr. Widodo in Indonesia gaining power in here this week. He was finally appointed. Well, he doesn't have the same dominant position in terms of his power structure, but he is also someone who's coming from with a reform agenda, and that's really important too, because the rupiah has been one of the weaker currencies in the region. Well, the degree to which he's successful will probably be dictated by the performance of the rupiah going forward. If the rupiah steadies up, well, then the Indonesian stock market will become a lot more alluring. Well, this week is also really important in terms of Brazil. Well, again, Brazil is another major population center where there is the potential that you could have a major improvement in governance. Well, you know, people have rained on democracy's parade for a lot of the last decade, that, populism has been very much to the fore, and short-termism with it, but that we're now seeing that people are voting for change. And, well, Dilma Rousseff hasn't really demonstrated that she's been able to deliver on the reforms required, but that, well, we'll see if she can actually win this election. Well, Aseo Neves is from a much more market-friendly environment and, well, has some of the credentials that one might like to see for a reform-minded person. So, well, we'll find out on Sunday. But, well, the market has been subject to just incredible volatility. It was down 4% yesterday, up 2.5% today. And, well, we just don't know which way it's going to go. But if Rousseff wins, this market could complete a Type 3 top. Well, if Neves wins, it could break out to new all-time highs. It really is that stark a difference between the two philosophies evident. Well, Europe has pulled back a lot further than Wall Street over the last month. And, well, people aren't yet willing to say that the that this is just a wonderful buying opportunity, but that, well, the economy has been deteriorating in Europe and, well, we're going to see that the ECB is going to expand its balance sheet in a really massive way. So, well, you'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to asset prices appreciating, though that's also going to put downward pressure on the euro. And, well, the Europeans really need a weak currency. Japan really needs a weak currency. Well, you don't have to be a massive dollar bull, but you'd have to be pretty bearish on the dollar to argue that it's going to be weaker than either the euro or the yen. Well, what that really means is that the US is going to become a more attractive destination for foreign investments. That for all the people that sent their money abroad in the last decade, that they're going to need a reason to leave it abroad. That we've seen that deteriorating governance can have a massive impact on one's net worth. Well, Russia is just a stark example of that. That you just have no prospect there in the short term of governance improving, and that is having a major impact on the ruble and really for the prospects of getting their money out of the country for just about anybody else. So, well, when you think about it in those terms, that governance is really does mean that it is everything, and that the relative strength of the US dollar just throws that into increasingly stark contrast. Well, when you look at it in those terms and you start to look at the commodity markets, well, oil prices are down around $80. And, well, this has been an accelerated decline over the last 6 weeks, that it's probably at least a short-term low. Well, over the long term, when you get a high-price environment, that when you get oil prices that are around $4 for a prolonged period of time, or then gas prices in the US, that people start to think about how they can stop driving. Well, the number of miles driven has deteriorated, and, well, the federal laws for fuel efficiency have increased. Well, nobody was interested in fuel efficiency when oil prices were at $10 a barrel. Well, when they're closer to $100 a barrel, the argument for why you should have greater fuel efficiency becomes a lot more convincing. Well, nobody was interested in incandescent bulbs when oil prices were very high, but now everyone wants LEDs and CFLs. So, well, you look at it in those terms, that high prices put pressure on consumers to consume less. But high prices also motivate the supply component, that with high prices, people with previously uneconomic regions, well, they become a lot more economic a lot quicker. And we've seen just massive investment in increasing supply, and not just in energy, but in just about everything else as well. Well, the investment banks were controlling both sides of the trade. They've been reducing their headcount. They've been closing desks. They've been selling off warehousing. When we look at the rallies that we've seen of late in the commodity markets, well, they haven't been in the same kind of dynamic fashion that we would have expected. When you could still make a solid argument for a secular bull market in commodities, that the continuous commodity index has broken down, it hasn't pushed back up just yet. That, well, you're seeing that additional downward pressure on commodity prices is probably to be expected. Well, if that's the case, that you're going to see a firmer US dollar, that the relative attraction of foreign markets is going to be called into question, that governance is increasingly important, and that commodity prices are, well, a lot of the demand for commodities has been removed, then that is a fundamental basis on which you might be able to build a secular bull market hypothesis. Well, technological innovation is improving at just an increasingly rapid rate, and that, well, you're seeing not only that you're getting this enhancement in the high technology fields and in biotechnology, nanotechnology, manufacturing, in sensors, but that they are coalescing so that you're getting innovation in two sectors. People see the synergies and they come through with something even more even more exciting. So, well, those really are very, very important, and those are the types of things that really enhance productivity. Well, if you're going to get improving governance in some of the world's major population centers, well, China's finishing its plenary session of parliament in here this week, and, well, it's a baby step. It's certainly not any kind of massive innovation, but you're getting baby steps in terms of the rule of law. Well, if you get improving governance, you're going to get the availability of technology going to increasingly large portions of the global population. And that also enhances productivity. Well, when you start to think about all of these things together, then yes, you can argue that Wall Street is expensive on an historic basis, that you have had a bit more of an inconsistency, but that, well, there's a lot of reason to be bullish, that we would probably get a better buying opportunity eventually, that interest rates will eventually have to normalize, that, well, if interest rates normalize, you're going to have a problem in bond funds. Bonds just do not trade on a duration basis. That, well, people are looking on this as momentum, that its momentum has driven the performance of bond funds when you have no yield. They lock in their yield so that, well, if you are going to hold a bond to maturity, then you have reinvestment risk. But if, well, in an interest rate environment that could be rising, you're going to get a... well, you're going to get a drawdown in the value of those bonds as they reach maturity. So it's going to be a more difficult environment for bond funds, that people are who have been pricing bonds and momentum will have to start looking at yield to maturity eventually. But that, well, with the amount of liquidity that is hitting this market, that the bond market could progress and persist the way it has been going for at least another while. But that, well, it's the kind of environment where you look on it as momentum-driven, and, well, in a momentum-driven environment, then the necessity of having a stop and starting to think about what would have to go wrong to exit a position becomes all the more important. Well, when we look at this in terms of the stock market, that you've had this inconsistency, that's a short-term consideration, that over the medium term, that, well, you might have an additional rally. What we now have is a higher reaction low. Well, let's look at where this low holds. That's at least a touchstone in terms of the consistency of the trend. These trends are no longer as consistent as they were. That's a consideration that is worthy of spending some time to think about. That, well, one is one justified in continuing to hold positions when the consistency is deteriorating? Well, you might be justified in doing that, but that you do need to start thinking about what would need to happen in order to at least begin to stop buying or to sell a position. Well, if you're thinking about it over the long term, then the market has gone up a lot, but that it went nowhere for 14 years, that we could get a pullback to the upper side of the range, that might be an opportunity to buy some more. But that generally speaking, when these long ranges give way to a breakout, that, well, you can have bull markets that persist for decades. So that, well, if you're sitting on the sidelines in cash, that there's an awful lot of pressure coming on people right now to get into the market, but that there will be better buying opportunities. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for the weekend, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.